sub just a little bit, Isaac? Hi, guys. I'm Greg. I'm an alcoholic. I was asked to speak about my sobriety date. I appreciate it. Let's see. My sobriety date is March 16th, 2020. I do have a sponsor. I'm not currently sponsoring anybody. If you feel like I might be able to help you after listening to this, hit me up. Let's see. I was born in Tampa, Florida. I had a pretty normal childhood for the most part. I have one brother, a mom, and a dad. They got divorced when I was pretty young. I found it kind of weird. When they got divorced, we lived in one condo, and my dad just moved into another condo in the same neighborhood. So it was kind of a weird dynamic. I would just get mad at one, run to the other one. It was really funny. My first early memories, I went to an elementary school. We kind of grew up in a pretty affluent neighborhood. But we were like, you know, lived in the poor part of it, I guess you could say. In elementary school, it was just me and this other kid. We would hang out a lot. He was like black, you know, I'm brown, whatever. It was just him and I in the schools. And I remember I had this one feeling of like just not belonging. Me and him were just hanging out, playing with the Lincoln Logs, and someone just came and kicked him over. And it was like, I just always felt like I was just different from other people. And middle school came. I went to a middle school in a rougher part of town, and I met some people, like 14, and one guy was like, hey, you should hang out with us. I'll pick you up in the morning. I was like, pick you up? Like, I have to ride the bus. He's like, no, my brother's going to pick you up. I remember he had a Ford Explorer with the big rims, like 215s in the back. I was like, man, this is cool. And they light up a joint, and I smoked it. And I remember I didn't really like being high or anything, but I just remember, like, man, like, I feel like I found my people. Like, I belong somewhere now. This is cool. They want me to do this. And so, you know, later on, a couple years later, I started drinking and whatnot. And early on, I was a really good student. You know, I was pretty smart. I always had, like, an affinity of just doing dumb shit, I guess. I liked the attention, like, messing around in class, whatever. And I don't know, man. Once I started really drinking, like, when I was age 15, I remember my dad had purchased me a car, and he told me, hey, like, you do good, you can have this car. And I was, you know, drinking, getting high all the time. I got the car. I remember it was 2 weeks before I actually got my real license. I snuck out in the middle of the night, and I crashed it. I, like, opened the door while it was still rolling and, like, bent the door frame really bad. And just would always do dumb stuff like that. And it kind of was a pattern in the rest of my life. So, you know, I managed to graduate high school. I was going to go to HCC, but I just kept drinking, you know. Also, drugs are a big part of my story. I'll just keep it at drinking for that. But to me, it doesn't matter what it was. If it changed my mind, like, I was hooked on it, it really didn't matter. Drugs, alcohol, it's all the same to me. It all took me to the same place. So, yeah, you know, like I said, after high school, I kept drinking, and it got really bad. I became really dependent on it. I would go out every single night. Blackout. I got my first DUI, age 19. There's this lovely place called McDinton's. Maybe you guys have heard of it. And that's when I kind of realized, like, I had a serious problem. But I really didn't think I needed to change. You know, in my head, I was like, I'm just going to control it. You know, maybe drink a little less of this. Maybe, you know, if I go out, only have a couple, mix some of this in here and try that. And that was pretty much the story for the rest of my life. You know, I had jobs during it. You know, I would get a job, maintain it, very blue collar, until I either got too messed up or stopped showing up, and I would get fired, and I would just hop somewhere else. And yeah, like, as time went on, my drinking got really, really bad. I had serious consequences. You know, I had gotten arrested for possessing things. You know, I remember, and I would always pray. You know, my sobriety date to me, it's like the day I was reborn. You know, I've achieved some things in sobriety, but every time that March 16th comes around, like, I always have a sense of pride. Like, I really did something with my life. Yeah, so fast forward, like, I'm 25 years old. I'm an everyday drinker. You know, I wake up, I gotta have it. I can't really hold down a job for anything. My family doesn't want to see me. There's just no sense of any real life. And people I had partied with a lot in high school or college or friends I picked up on the way, they managed to grow out of it. They would just stop drinking and, you know, get married, have careers, buy houses. And I just saw myself there going up. I'm just declining all the time. It's like, you know, I could talk about the bad days for a while, but I'll talk about my sobriety date. during the times I had gotten in trouble, they would always send me to a place called Axe Detox on Hillsborough Avenue by Grace Point. I remember going there, and every time they'd send me there, like, all right, you can leave in 5 days. You have to stay for 5 days. And I would always try and scheme my way out. I'd be like, well, clearly I'm not an alcoholic. I don't have to be here. And guess what? Like, it never happened. So finally, March 16th came. I was really at the end of my rope. I wanted to die every single day. It had been like that for a long time. For the last 3 years, I told myself, this is the last night I'm going to drink, and it just never worked out. So I found myself that night begging to be let in Axe Detox. It was COVID. There was a lockdown, so people were on curfew. You couldn't drive, essential workers and all that stuff. So I knocked on the door. They said, okay, you can come in. They start searching me and having to fill out paperwork. And then they said, oh, wait, never mind. You have to wait till the morning. So I sat outside. It was still cold, and there was a green electrical box. I remember just sitting there, like, you know, I had nights where I had to sleep in my car before, but never really, like, slept on the grass. And I just remember saying, like, God, like, if these people help me, like, I'm going to do whatever it is. All the compromises that I've done in the past via, you know, do a little bit of this, a little of that. If you get me out of this trouble, I'll maybe stop for a minute. Like, I'm just going to do whatever I'm asked. And so they came in the morning, took my temperature, and they said, all right, we'll let you in. And I just said, thank you. Like, something changed in me that day. That was my spiritual experience. And each time they would always say, hey, you want to go to rehab? And I'd always be like, no, hell no. Are you kidding me? This time, those 5 days, all I could think about was, are they going to ask me to go to rehab? It's COVID. I don't know if they're doing it, all this stuff. The fifth day came, they said, hey, do you want to go to rehab? And I was like, absolutely. And so I went to rehab for the first and only time. And, you know, I say that I needed rehab since I was 16 years old, but it was just when I was ready. I got to rehab and I just kind of shut the fuck up. You know, all the things they were saying, like, hey, you go to class, like, maybe you shouldn't punch the wall. It was a dual diagnosis place, so they, you know, it was a rough place. You know, it wasn't like some of the nicer rehabs where you go. And in my head, you know, some of those old petulant ways came back. Like, oh, I'm too good for this. Like, clearly I know how to behave and all that. But I just remembered, like, hey, dude, like, all your good thinking got you knocking on the door, begging, praying to actually be let in that place. Otherwise, you'd have nowhere to go. And I just carried that on, you know. Sobriety has its challenges. Sometimes I think, could I go back out? But luckily, like, I come to meetings, I work with a sponsor, and I kind of, you know, I was speaking to someone before the meeting, told me I had long-term sobriety, and then he tested the waters again, and it didn't work out, and that's fine, man. Like, I know I can do a lot of things in this life, but going back out isn't one of it. And the only way, like, I found in my experience to keep my mind, like, on that mindset is just by doing AA. Everything else I tried has not worked. You know, compromising, just anything that I think is good usually isn't, you know. So I'm lucky, like, I have men, like, the people that are here, I have a lot of people I look up to that kind of show me the way, you know. It's my sobriety day, honestly, is everything to me. Like I said, I've achieved some things in sobriety. No matter what, like, that'll always be the most important thing I'm proud of. Thanks for the time.